This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We come together united by several threads that run through our relationships. We are followers of Jesus, who said there is no greater commandment than to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're also connected by the thread of our common connections to Eastern Mennonite University. For some, this connection has spanned a lifetime. There are those here who were born within blocks of this campus, or perhaps children of faculty or staff who have returned as faculty members or in other positions at EMU. Except for a few years of graduate studies, they have always called this home. Others of us may be connected to EMU through a spouse who attended EMU many years ago. That can be a unique experience. Many years ago, when I was at Heston College, a married couple came to my office to get acquainted. The husband had been a student some 60 years earlier. This was his first visit back to that campus since graduating in the 1940s. His first wife had died. He was bringing his second wife to campus from Michigan. She was shocked. She said, "The roads around here are paved." Her expectations had been shaped by his descriptions of what he thought he remembered from his student days. For her, it was challenging to fully appreciate all that he was experiencing on this visit. Everything was filtered through his memory, and it was hard to decipher how much of his memory was rooted in reality. Not that that would be the case for any of us here today. The first memories that Pat and I have about EMU were from a time when former President Augsburger was a guest preacher in her home church at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church in southeast Iowa. Her father was the pastor, and he was a guest in their home. And as the oldest of six children, one of Pat's weekly duties was to make cinnamon rolls for Sunday morning breakfast. And apparently, President Augsburger was deeply impressed, and he suggested to her that morning that someday you should come to EMC and make cinnamon rolls for us. She never forgot that. In our junior year at Iowa Mennonite School, Truman Brunk Jr., then the new campus pastor at EMC in those days, came for a week of spiritual life chapels. And we were all taken by this gentle giant of a man who could connect so well with us as high school students. Years later, or a year and a half later, 17 of us from that graduating class at Iowa Mennonite School came here to EMU. In the spring of 1967, both Pat and I were members of the touring choir that participated in the Mennonite High School Choir Festival that was hosted by EMHS in this very space. And on Thanksgiving weekend of our senior year, two friends and I, Furman Gingrich and Dean Rhodes, drove 960 miles to visit EMU as prospective students, just the three of us, no parents. But I had already been driving a 60-passenger school bus to IMS for my last 2 years of high school. So what's to worry about? And in 1973, Pat and I returned to Harrisonburg for me to begin seminary studies. Our oldest child was 3 weeks old. He was the first grandchild on either side of our families. And of course, that was in the pre-car seats for children days. And we conveniently placed him in a cardboard box between us on the front seat of the car. It went fairly well till we came down 522 from Breezewood And at the end of 2 days on the road, Tim didn't exactly tolerate the swaying and the rapid changes in altitude. I was 23 years old. I now know that the frontal lobe of the brain is not fully developed until age 25. Now, let me clarify for our students. That has nothing to do with intelligence. But the frontal lobe is the center for judgment. And I realize some of you are still wondering about me. So each of us has our own stories about this thread that connects us to EMU. Some of those stories get embellished with every passing class reunion. Most of them contain at least a modicum of truth. But as my lifelong friend Furman Gingrich said when submitting a story for a roast that I endured several years ago, some stories are so good that even if they're not true, they should be. So I presume that many of you have shared stories this weekend, and now we come to worship. For some of you, this may be an opportune time for confession. I'd like now to introduce briefly the alumni award recipients, and we will hear from each of them later in our service. Our outstanding young alum this year is Martin Histand. Currently serves as operations manager for Project Peanut Butter in St. Louis, Missouri. And if you read more about his background, you'll discover he was the one kid in the United States of America that did not like peanut butter when he was a kid. This nonprofit agency specializes in peanut processing and RUTF, ready to use therapeutic food as a means of combating severe malnutrition in children in sub-Saharan Africa and beyond. He's a 2005 graduate with a degree in history and social studies and a secondary education licensing in teaching. Distinguished Service Award, Dr. John A. Lapp, a 1954 EMU alumnus who served on the teaching faculty here from 1956 to 69. In addition to holding positions at other institutions of higher learning, John Lapp spent a significant portion of his career serving as executive director of Mennonite Central Committee. John and his wife Alice, who's a 1955 graduate, have retired in Goshen, Indiana, and are the parents of three adult children. And our alumnus of the year, Dr. James Rosenberger. Jim is a 1968 EMU mathematics graduate, current professor of statistics at Pennsylvania State University, is our alumnus of the year. He has served with various national organizations, including the American Statistical Association, National Science Foundation, and chaired the Mennonite Board, or the Mennonite Education Agency, former Board of Education. James and his wife, Gloria, who is a 1970 graduate, make their home in State College, Pennsylvania, parents of three adult children, all of whom are EMU graduates. We welcome each of you to this special occasion, and we look forward to hearing from you later during the service. Now, if you would please join me for this prayer of invocation. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Breathe the Holy Spirit into every heart. Bid the fears and sorrows from each soul depart. Amen.
You have in your hands a copy of the path through this morning's service. Everything I think that you need to know is there. No further announcements will be made along the way, so look ahead and be ready for whatever comes next. There are two hymnals we'll be using this morning, HWB Hymnal, a Worship Book, the big blue one, and Sing the Story, the smaller purple one. The service this morning flows like the Gospel of Mark. It begins, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, and then proceeds to tell the story. It ends, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Between this beginning and this ending, we will sing and hear together reminders of the Jesus story. And when Mark's gospel ends, we will hear the honorees of the weekend, St. John, St. James, and St. Martin, tell us how the good news has continued to be written in their lives. Here together this morning, we are reminded that each of us is called to live and to be the good news of Jesus Christ. And in our worship together today, we offer our praise and our thanksgiving.
Quae Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. Quae Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the world or fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. Not earth nor hell my soul can move, I rest upon unchanging love. I trust his righteous character, his counsel, promise, and his power. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama. Quanque Jesu nasci mamma, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama, die mamma di salama.
In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word all things came into being, and apart from the Word nothing came into being that has come into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken.
Rejoice, highly favored one. God is with you. Blessed are you among women. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You'll conceive and bear a son and give him the name Jesus. His dignity will be great, and he will be called the only begotten of God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where it was written,
"The Spirit of our God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captive, recovery of sight to those who are blind, and release to those in prison, to proclaim the year of God's favor."
Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Jesus presented another parable to the crowds.
"The kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed which a farmer sowed in the field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it has grown, it is the biggest shrub of all. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come to perch in its branches."
Thank you.
Come to me, all you who labor and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Here you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The disciples came up to Jesus and said,
"This is a deserted place and it's very late. Why not dismiss them so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat?"
Jesus replied, "Give them something to eat yourselves."
"You want us to spend half a year's wages on bread for them to eat?"
"How many loaves do you have? Go look."
When they found out, they reported back, "Five loaves and fish."
Jesus told them to have the people sit down in the grass in groups of hundreds and fifties. Then Jesus took the five loaves and two fish, raised his eyes to heaven, and said the blessing. Jesus broke the loaves and handed them to the disciples to distribute among the people. They all, 5,000 families, ate until they had their fill.
Improv, improv, sacrament keeper. Improv, improv.
One day, Jesus was praying, and when he had finished, one of the disciples asked, "Rabbi, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples."
Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hearts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For we reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen."
Oh, Father.
One of the criminals who hung there beside him said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your glory.
The centurion, who was standing guard over Jesus' body, was terror-stricken at seeing the earthquake and all that was happening and said,
Clearly this is God's own son.
Bewildered and trembling, but they said nothing to anyone because they were so afraid.
Warm greetings to all of you. It's so nice to see my family and many, many friends scattered throughout the audience. As a historian, I try to have a high respect for tradition. And so I was really happy to have the opening song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. We sang that in college church a couple weeks ago, and I told my pastor that that's the oldest, or the first hymn in the hymn book that I remember. And it's probably both the beginning and the end of my story. And as a historian, I also think of other things that happened before. And I believe it was about 65 years ago, in this auditorium, on this podium, that I first heard, O beautiful star of Bethlehem. So EMC has been a lodestone for my life journey. It was here where I learned, particularly from Paul Peachey, my favorite professor, that to love is to serve. That to serve is to bear witness. To incarnate God's purposes for the world. Here I learned that service can be understood as a calling and as a lifestyle. Through the years, I've learned much more about service, that it has to do with self-giving and mutuality. It's not primarily the work of heroic individuals, but the work of entire communities, indeed of age-old traditions. My call to serve was integral to my decision to follow the path of Jesus. That was made around a campfire at Laurelville Church Center 70 years ago this summer. It became operational when John R. Mumaw, president of EMC,
invited me to teach history here even before I had a graduate degree. Dan Hertzler followed this with another call to write a monthly column on world affairs for Christian Living. Lawrence Burkholder, president of Goshen College, persuaded me to apply this calling in academic administration. Elmer Neufeld, board chair of MCC, urged me to accept the call to lead this Intermennonite service program. Larry Miller, the general secretary of Mennonite World Conference, reminded me that the call to serve in the global church does not end with retirement. I look back with much satisfaction and gratitude for God's call and for these significant opportunities. I'm deeply indebted to a deep and enduring community of grace, nurturing parents, 8 special brothers and sisters, 7 of them here this morning, an extraordinary loving partner, Alice, 3 resourceful children and their spouses, and 6 exciting grandchildren. And they made this weekend even more newsworthy. This community of grace and giftedness extends to stimulating teachers in this institution and others, eager students, supportive colleagues, dedicated to service workers of MCC, encouraging friends, edifying congregations, which were so important, 2 long-standing small groups, and many associates in the worldwide family of God. For these gifts and the innumerable blessings of life, thanks be to God.
My profession is statistics, the study of the uncertainty of things we want to know with certainty, the study of probability, the likelihood of something occurring, the study of prediction, planning for the future based on the past. We're but a flash in an eternity of evolution. Does God roll dice? Einstein thought so. And if we look at how God created life on Earth, it's a continuous sequence of random recombinations, producing ever-increasing diversity and richness, and the ability to survive in each unique niche. My life has been a similar experience. A sequence of random opportunities with many forks in the road that I took. In my life, I stepped off the comfortable path I was on in my home community to take a leap of faith to the unknown. In college, at EMU, I decided to spend my junior year in Germany, a scary and lonely departure from the path, but became a foundation for future decisions in my life. The next year, I met Gloria, who said yes to join me for the rest of our lives. And then 15 years later, I moved my family to Zimbabwe, Africa, for 2 years to serve on a development project team at the University of Zimbabwe. This was a deferred dream I had during college to teach in Africa. And from these rich experiences, my life has had meaning, personal growth, and enrichment. The Bible records the history of the old to the new, which Jesus summarizes in 2 simple commands: love God and love your neighbor. To love God is to embrace with awe, to worship the creation and the creator, And to love your neighbor is to recognize that our lives are nothing compared to all others, even enemies. This truth has led me to embrace servant leadership in my various roles, in the church, in my job, in my community. What I have tried to pursue and what has brought me most joy. My life as a professor, sometime administrator, and public servant has been about serving others and by teaching how to discover knowledge from the uncertainty of research data.
All alone, she walked up to the clinic site, that day held in a stick and thatch structure, providing nothing more than shade from the hot Sierra Leonean sun. Older than the other children receiving treatment, she appeared to be 6 or 7, completely emaciated with just a loose layer of skin draped over her skeletal figure. It was impossible to look at her without being overcome with deep sadness. Sympathy for her in that moment, as well as the sorrow of knowing how difficult her life must have been up to that point. Yet she managed a smile, happy to see us, aware this was probably her last chance at life. We gathered information. She was 12, stunted from years of malnutrition. Too sick for standard outpatient treatment, we located her mother and drove down miles of dirt road to the nearest hospital. In silence we went, separated by worlds, language, and history. I looked at her through my healthy, vaccinated body. I knew even if she made it, she would struggle the rest of her life. But she never stopped smiling as I held back tears. I had just returned home to St. Louis from Africa, a place where one expects to find chronic poverty and injustice, to be greeted with news of unrest, protests, and injustice on the streets of my home community. An unarmed teenager, Michael Brown, was shot by police, touching a nerve in the Black community. Watching the scenes unfold, for me it was a stark realization of how much pent-up frustration and anger there was. A realization of how far we have yet to come, and perhaps most significantly, a realization just how privileged my own life has been. In response, the police and National Guard armed themselves with guns, shields, and tanks. We armed ourselves with poster board, our voices, and the strength of a community. As I marched with the crowds through the streets of Ferguson, I was overcome with emotion. Seeing brothers and sisters walking together, supporting each other in the fight for justice, and could barely choke out the words as I joined the chorus, "Black Lives Matter." I spend a lot of time in Africa, and I enjoy it. It's not a convenient place to work. The power goes out, the roads are bumpy, the language is difficult, the sun is hot, the governments are corrupt. People beg things from you. But it's filled with beautiful people, part of our shared humanity, and the need is great. I spend a month there working with local staff to produce a therapeutic food used to treat acutely malnourished children. The local staff works hard, and they are so grateful to have a job. Then I return home, hoping my work is making a difference, that my energy is well spent. The streets are much quieter here, but there are also many needs. We have the luxury of being independent, but we lack community. We have all the basic amenities, but we often struggle to find happiness. There is so much we can learn from each other. I sleep comfortably in my own bed, thinking about Africa, struggling to balance two worlds, hopeful for change.
Thank you for sharing your story, God's story. Through the years, many of our graduating seniors go into church-related service worldwide. To encourage seniors to make this choice, the Alumni Association awards several scholarships each year to students who desire to follow this call to Christian service. Begun in 1974, the Young Alum Endowed Scholarship Fund is a way for you to support these students. Would you pray with me? Our kind and loving Lord, we give you thanks this morning as we accept this offering for the Young Alum Scholarship Fund, and we pray that you will bless its use to further your kingdom. We boldly ask that those who benefit from it spread that blessing around to many where they minister, where they work and live, or where they experience community. Thank you, Lord, for Christian leaders, past, present, and future, whose lives of service and excellence challenge today's young students to strive toward reaching their potential in service. We also thank you for the families from which many of these students come, and for professors and administrators here at Eastern Mennonite University, women and men of God who serve as role models even when not always cognizant that they are doing so. Lord, we give you thanks that some students choose Christian ministry, and we pray that you would guide each one in your way. Amen.
This past August, at EMU's Fall Faculty Staff Conference, the speaker arrived late, and so President Schwarzenegger was left with having to fill some extra time. And one of the things that he mentioned, much to my delight, was about his enjoyment of hymn singing, and specifically that of all the hymns in the book, Be Thou My Vision has long been his favorite. He told us that the singing of this hymn had marked many important moments in his life, and that he hoped it would be sung on many more occasions as well. And furthermore, that he hoped that if anyone should remember, it would also be sung at his funeral. Our prayers and wishes are that that occasion will be far into the future. These years of the Lawrence Schwarzenegger presidency at EMU are significant in our lives and in yours. This morning, Be Thou My Vision, we'd like to sing and pray this hymn with and for you, marking a significant milestone in your life and ours. We sing filled with thanksgiving for you in this place. It's number 545. Please stand.
Join me in prayer. Creator God, living Word, comforting Spirit, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather here again this weekend, for memories revisited and friendships renewed. We are deeply grateful for your presence here in this place, for your guiding presence over the past 100 years, and for the promise of your presence today and in the days and years ahead. We are grateful for the students you have entrusted to our care, for those you have called to teach, and for all those whose lives have been shaped by this institution. We are grateful for those you called and equipped to lead this institution, and for the leaders that you, by your Spirit, are already preparing for the years ahead. We ask a special blessing on Lauren and Pat Swartzendruber and their family for their dedication and commitment to walking in the way of Jesus. Lord, as we go from this place, be the vision of our hearts, be our wisdom, our true word, be our shield and our strength. Whatever may come, still be our vision, ruler of all. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.